Welcome to Stockhouse.com's Fireside Chat, where you get the lowdown on the sectors, the companies, and the trends which are competing for your investment dollar. PyroGenesis Canada is a Canadian high-tech company which is designing, developing, manufacturing, and commercializing advanced technologies through the use of plasma-based systems and plasma torch products. Via the company's proprietary technology, PyroGenesis is able to efficiently convert a variety of waste products into energy, fuel, synthetic gas, and other reclaimable resources. With plasma applications which the company has pioneered in conjunction with the U.S. Department of Defense, PYR has been able to design plasma waste processing systems suitable for installation on aircraft carriers, yet still compact enough to be utilized in remote camps. More recently, the company has been exploring new opportunities in 3D printing, starting with production systems. However, in more closely evaluating the market, management saw much more lucrative revenue potential by shifting towards in-house manufacturing of titanium powders versus selling the systems which produce those powders. PyroGenesis has filed approximately 60 patents in support of these technological innovations and continues to rapidly advance its technology as it services the wide spectrum of companies and industries suitable for its high-tech waste treatment processes. On November 22nd, the company announced its operational results for fiscal Q3. Revenues were up 40% from the same period in 2015, while gross margins were up over 64% from 1 year ago. Hi, I'm Jeff Nielsen, head of editorial for Stockhouse Publishing, and I have the pleasure today of speaking with the company's president and CEO, Peter Pascali. We're here today to provide investors with an in-depth perspective on PyroGenesis Canada and its impressive array of corporate initiatives and proprietary technology. Thanks for joining me today, Peter.
Thank you, Jeff, for having me on Stockhouse Editorials.
Let's dive right into the questions here. Could you provide investors with a brief introduction to plasma and what inspired the company to use this substance as the basis of its high-tech applications?
Sure, Jeff. Plasma is the fourth state of matter. I don't want to sound too Star Trek-ish. It's, the other states are solids, liquids, and gases. It is the most abundant form of matter in the universe. The sun is a plasma ball. Lightning is a plasma. It's been around since the beginning of time. Plasma can reach temperatures in excess of 10,000 degrees Celsius. And what we like about plasma, Jeff, is that we can take it and incorporate it into our processes that help us do a number of things. For instance, transform waste to energy, or transform a wire to powders, which we do in for 3D printing. Over the past 20 years, we have issued our pending patents in our name of over 60, and we have over that time arguably amassed one of the largest concentrations of plasma expertise under one roof than anywhere in the world. Our claim to fame is having our plasma waste system on board the highest tech platform in the world, namely the U.S. aircraft carrier. And we're currently developing a tactical system to destroy chemical warfare weapons for the U.S. and U.K. Special Operations Groups, which should be coming on stream in 2017. We're doing all this with plasma, and we, I believe, are one of the largest plasma expertise. We have one of the largest plasma expertise in the world.
Well, that's very exciting, Peter, but that's just the beginning of what you've been up to lately. The company's produced a flurry of milestone announcements over just the past few weeks, so let's cover these developments for investors. On October 20th, PyroGenesis announced the successful testing of its DROSRITE system for a Mideast client. Now, what niche does this technology service, and what is the commercial potential for this technology?
Yes, Jeff, DROSRITE is a very interesting technology that we have developed and patented. It's a salt-free process for maximizing the metal recovery from dross, which is a waste generated in the metallurgical industry. For example, what you have in the aluminum industry, when aluminum comes off and is in contact with the oxygen, it forms on the surface a dross substance, which is not wanted. It's a waste product. So they scoop it off, and they send it off to a third party to recuperate some of the valuable metal that was scooped up within the dross. It goes off-site because most of these players that provide this service use salt in the process of recovering the metal, and you don't want that salt to come in contact with aluminum because it will contaminate the batch. So it traditionally is done off-site. Our system, being a salt-free process, enables it to process the hot dross at the site. So as the dross comes off, it's hot, we process it, we recuperate the metal, and it's still hot, and we put it right back into the system immediately while it's hot, thereby saving energy required to cool it down and then heat it back up. This process has a significantly greater metal recovery than conventional methods. And we're experiencing 10 to 20% increase in metal recovery for our customers, which is significant in the industry. Plus, we're able to do it at a significantly lower cost. We do it for less than $100 a ton, whereas traditional costs are between $250 and $350 a ton. So it's a win-win for everybody. When you look at the, Jeff, when you look at the world primary aluminum production, it's about 60,000 metric tons per year, assuming 2 to 3% dross. The potential market from primary aluminum producers alone, for us, is over $450 million. And that's not even taking into consideration secondary and tertiary producers, nor even zinc and copper dross that are also produced. Our technology was proven out this year. An American client with a facility in Mexico asked for a demonstration, and upon a successful demonstration, ordered a system which is up and running now. We got the data from it, and as soon as we did, there was a request in the Middle East for a similar demonstration. It happened in October, and within hours of that, we got some interest to sell a significant number of systems to a large waste management company. So it's a lot of activity here. We're not waiting for 2017. We say 2017 is a breakout year for our product lines, but DrossRite is already moving very quickly. There's a lot of flurry, and it looks like it's going to continue, and 2017 looks like it's going to be a significant year for DrossRite as well.
And your success here hasn't gone unnoticed. To be specific, the success for the DrossRite system inspired an unsolicited offer from that Mideastern client to become the sole distributor of PyroGenesis' DrossRite system within the Gulf Cooperation Council. Could you explain the significance of this offer to investors?
Well, there's a number of significance to this, Jeff. I mean, it's obviously, as you can expect, it was very, very unexpected, but it underscores the decision to deploy the system as we have. As soon as the demonstration took place in the Middle East, one of the largest waste management companies engaged us to sell them a number of systems, up to 12 systems, that they would operate themselves. This is very exciting on another level, not just the economic level, the fact that it's business, but it's one of the things that we've been trying to do is duplicate ourselves. In other words, rather than go to all the countries, our opportunities in the Middle East, we now have somebody who's well-placed, well-connected, well-established, that's going to do it on our behalf. So it saves a lot of time to market, and obviously to investors it means that we'll be able to get to our numbers faster by teaming up with the right players. And it's also an idea that we can copycat in other parts of the world. So this was a very unexpected development. However, it does underscore our general strategy on how to deploy our product lines.
Well, that's very exciting news, but let's move on to some of your other developments. Back on April 7th, PyroGenesis announced its intentions to spin off its additive manufacturing operations into an independent public company. Could you briefly review what motivated this plan and describe the state of PYR's additive manufacturing operations at the time of that release?
Yes, Jeff. A little bit of background. One of our advantages is that we can develop, using a patented plasma process, very small spherical titanium powders from a titanium wire, which have significant impact in the additive manufacturing industry, specifically in the use by 3D printers. They like how our powders flow like water, and so we essentially are the ink in the printer. We originally got into this business about a year, just over a year ago, We were originally going to just supply systems to those who want to make powders for themselves or distribute them to the marketplace. To make a long story short, we quickly realized that the business to get into is actually making the powders ourselves. We found that the potential profit from one system alone was in excess of the profit you could get from delivering 10 systems. And those 10 systems would be a one-time profit when you deliver them, but when you manufacture the powders yourself, it's that profitability is year in, year out. So we announced that we're about this time last year, we announced that we're getting into powder production, and you would be amazed at the interest that came from the marketplace, because there's some history to us. We've done this before. We used to make small spherical titanium powders for the biomedical industry, and we got out of the industry because, being rather conservative, the industry wasn't taking up all our powder production, so we got out. We lent our technology to someone who continued in the business and ended up being the largest supplier of titanium powder to the additive manufacturing industry. So we clearly decided to move into the powder production business with a lot of interest from that. We then realized that it would be better if our additive manufacturing, our 3D printing capabilities, were put into a separate entity so that people could clearly identify who they're dealing with and how, and what they're investing into. And on the heels of that decision, GE acquired Arcam, the producer of manufacturer of 3D printers, who had a subsidiary that used that produced the powders, 3D printing powder, titanium powders, exactly like the ones we make. So effectively, in disrupting, you might think they might be disruptive to the titanium supply chain. And since then, we have been looking at different combinations, different associations, different opportunities that have come up since over the past 2 months, as you can imagine. And so the strategic idea to spin off our additive manufacturing capabilities is still there. It's still a priority from the board. However, it has been postponed with all this news coming on side, and we now are figuring promptly in the additive manufacturing, the powder supply. We expect it to happen, as I said, in 2017, and it's one of the more exciting business lines that we have.
So further along those lines, on October 25th, PYR provided an update on its strategy for the company's additive manufacturing business, specifically the production of powders for use in 3D printing. Could you articulate a little further on PYR's revised strategy for this branch of its business?
Yeah, Jeff, as I mentioned, we decided to get out of manufacturing systems that produce powders specifically used in 3D printing in favor of actually making those powders ourselves. What we found that in a contract to supply 10 systems, we might make $5 to $6 million one-shot deal, but in operating a one system flat out, we could be making $7 to $8 million of profit from that one system year in, year out. The Wohler's report in 2015, one of the experts in the industry, projected that the need for titanium powder would be significant in the near future. In fact, they projected that by 2020, there would be a need for over 14,000 printers. By 2020, 14,000 printers, which would require about 8.6 million kilograms of metal powder. 31% of that would be from titanium alone. That's exactly the business that we've done. So if you run the numbers and you figure that you're going to grow, you may double double our capacity year in, year out from cash flow, internal cash flow alone. By 2020, we'd have 16 systems, but we would not even have tapped into 6% of the marketplace. So we would not have to corner the market to be a success. That's what drove us to change the strategy, Jeff, as I said, from making machines where you get a one-time profit, maybe some maintenance contracts, to one where we're actually making the powders ourselves. And what's really, really interesting is the fact that our system is extremely versatile. We can move with 3D printing as it moves from plastic to titanium to other wires and even into composites. In fact, we've been told that our system is so flexible that it might be enabling to 3D printing. What we can produce may enable 3D printers to do things that they would not otherwise be able to do.
Well, there's certainly plenty of blue sky potential there, but of course, PyroGenesis has still been pioneering other breakthroughs. On September 29th, PyroGenesis issued a press release announcing the first successful test for its PureVat process. Could you briefly summarize this technology and significance of those test results?
Yes, Jeff. PyroGenesis PureVat process is a very interesting project which we have had tremendous success on in recently. The basic concept is that to transform high purity quartz into high grade silicon metal in one step. The literature suggests that this can be done by plasma, so our client, High Purity Quartz, who own a lot of quartz properties, engaged us to see whether we could get our head around that prospect. And could we actually take a high purity quartz and convert it to a high purity silicon metal, suitable at some level to solar panels, for solar panels? So what we did was we ran some small tests, and lo and behold, we proved at a bench test that yes, if you took a plasma based system and you took a high purity quartz, remember I say high purity quartz here, you can convert it into a high purity metal. We had not produced a high enough purity for solar panels, but the idea is we could tweak it and maybe get there. Based on these results, we were engaged by our client to develop a 200 ton a day system, a demonstration unit. As an aside, one of the hardest things to get out of this high purity quartz is an element called boron. It's extremely expensive to get out. We demonstrated in our early tests that the resultant product has absolutely no boron in it. So that's a key. What I find is even more interesting is that as we're tweaking our system to determine how does our system handle impurities. I mean, if we're starting with a high purity quartz, there's not enough impurities in there to help us tweak our system. So we decided, let's just go and see what happens when we take a low purity quartz. Well, what would happen? Lo and behold, Jeff, in so doing, we develop high purity quartz. This is extremely significant, and I would argue almost more significant than the original goal of going from high purity quartz to high purity metal. Although, look, our goal is very much to do that, but the fact that we can take low purity quartz already and convert it into a high purity silicon has extreme economic ramifications. And this week, Jeff, we announced that we had actually got to 99.99% pure, which arguably is commercial already. We can now take low purity quartz and turn it into 99.99% high purity silicon. We're still perfecting it, of course. And the idea would be, the goal of the PureVat process is to get to 6.9, but the ultimate goal is to reduce the obviously both the capex and the cost of the end product, the metal silicon, And based on our targets, the PureVap system should decrease CapEx for a 20,000 metric ton system from $665 million to something between 38 and 75, which is significant. So less than 10% of the CapEx cost. And the cost of silicon, instead of having the spot market, I think the spot price is around $16, $17 a kilogram, would drop to $2 a kilogram. So the one-step process has always been viewed as a significant cost reduction method to reduce costs for the solar panel industry if you could do it. I recall there was a company called Timinco. Very interesting aside, if I have time, Jeff, if you don't mind. Timinco was a mine that fell upon a process that could reduce a number of steps. It wouldn't be just one step. There were still steps involved, but there'd be a number of steps. They could reduce a number of steps from the conventional process. They didn't succeed. They went bankrupt at the end of the day. But what is significant here is that when the marketplace thought that they could actually succeed, their stock went from 30 cents to over $22 a share, and they had a market cap, I think, in excess of $3.5 billion. Not to suggest that my share price should be that, Jeff. Because we're doing a whole bunch of other things as well. But no, and on a more serious note, what I wanted to do was point out this example solely to underscore the economic impact anybody that was successful in reducing steps from getting quartz to high purity metal, what the economic impact would be. And I think that what happened to Minko clearly identifies what that impact would be.
Well, while PowerGenesis forges ahead with DROSRITE and PureVap and its other successes, we certainly can't forget your ongoing relationship with the U.S. military. On October 12th, the company announced the latest in a series of contracts with the U.S. military. What is the total value of these contracts now, and what can you tell investors about the specific nature of the contracts?
Well, Jeff, it's very. Thanks for bringing that up, because that's our cornerstone. That's how we got in the business. We got in the business by we were asked by the U.S. Navy to develop a plasma-based system for their aircraft carrier, because they were mandated by Congress not to throw waste overboard, and everything that was being suggested to them would go through three decks of aircraft carrier, weigh like 100 tons. And as you know, the aircraft carrier is probably the most expensive platform of real estate in the universe. Every square inch and every pound is counted for. At the end of the day, and to make a long story short, Jeff, we are in the design of the next generation U.S. aircraft carrier, and we've already delivered two systems to them. We expect in 2017 to deliver or be asked to deliver, to contract for the third system. We're in the design. That means every time they make a new aircraft carrier, they'll dial us up and ask for one of our systems. You wouldn't make a business out of this, Jeff. I mean, the aircraft carriers aren't made every week. However, it does give us a level of credibility to both us and our plasma processes. We deliver to military specs. It also enabled us to develop other businesses with the U.S. military. The one which we've been announced recently is the contract with the U.S. and U.K. Special Operations Groups to develop a tactical system that can be deployed rapidly to destroy chemical warfare weapons a la Syria. So the idea would be if chemical warfare weapons were found somewhere in a particular place, the Special Operations Group would go in and secure the area, and they'd use our system to destroy the chemical warfare weapons, and then they'd get out. We have finished, we're close to finishing the testing here in Montreal, not with, don't have to worry, you don't have to move anywhere. They're not real chemical warfare weapons. They're just about finishing it off, the testing, and the testings are going very, very well. The next step would be for them to ship the system off to the UK, where they will be tested with real chemical warfare reagents at a cost of over $100 million to them. And the reason why it's so expensive is that it's very difficult to manufacture, store, handle, transport these type of chemical warfare weapons. So it's a very expensive process to do. And as you can imagine, not even multi-billion dollar companies have access to data on their systems, and they cannot claim that they've ever processed chemical warfare weapons. To make a long story short, this testing phase, which arguably the second phase, where in London should be without a hitch, because we've already tested simulants, and should come to a conclusion a third, fourth quarter of 2017, where we would expect, given that they spent so much money, some sort of an order, a procurement of some sort for the, they won't tell us how many, but that's towards the end of the year as well. Right now, your question with respect to how many, we have about $5 million between $4 and $6 million of contracts running through our balance sheet as we speak. We expect to be done with those somewhere around February, March.
And those results are starting to carry over to the bottom line. PyroGenesis recently announced its third quarter results, with the company producing some stellar numbers for investors. Do these results reflect PYR's successful transition in its additive manufacturing operations?
That's another interesting question, yes. We have, when we decided, Jeff, to get out of manufacturing machines for third parties, machines that make powders for third parties, and do it ourselves, we effectively walked from a $10 million contract. We had a $12.5 million contract to deliver 10 systems. We couldn't conceivably do both, deliver 10 systems and get into the marketplace. A situation developed that enabled us to get out of the contract, so we jumped at it. That was about this time, no, at the beginning of this year. It was about $10 million worth of revenue. You can imagine how that affected us. We're a company that makes $6 million. We made $6.2 million of revenue last year. So it was a significant hit in the first 6 months. However, since June 30th, we've signed over $11.5 million of contracts, almost double last year's revenue. Our third quarter was astounding, I believe. Our revenues were up 40% third quarter last year. We had an adjusted EBITDA, positive adjusted EBITDA, and our gross margin for the quarter was 64%. So we're trending in the right way. We managed to, that difficult 6 month period, I think we managed very, very well. But it was not, these revenues are not coming from 3D printing yet, and that's what's amazing. All these revenues are coming from everything other than 3D printing. And we expect that as we start getting to producing powders Q1 2017, those will be significant revenues coming in on top of these ones. And in short, Jeff, the recovery from 6 months in part was because of the gap we had in our 3D printing business line, but we've more than made up for it.
So, Peter, with the company's balance sheet already improving, what is the company's current cash position, and does it have any need or intention to go to the market for additional financing?
Jeff, it's an excellent question. We've had a really good third quarter, as you know. We've come off a pretty bad 6 months. We do not see this trend changing. We do not have any need or intention to go to the market for additional financing, at least over the foreseeable future. However, I can see possibly going back to the marketplace to finance a contract. What do I mean by that? I could see that the demand in additive manufacturing may come faster and quicker than we can anticipate or manage from our own cash flow. And maybe in a situation like that, we will go back to the marketplace for some additional capital to accelerate that growth. But it will be to a contract.
Well, so 2016 has been an amazing year for the company. Given all of these exciting developments, what will the next 12 months look like for PYR?
Jeff, it is a very unique time for us. We have not been adjusted EBITDA positive for some time. Our revenues are up, our margins are up, our contracts are up. We seem to be in getting in a healthy and healthier state. All of our product lines seem to be coming on stream in 2017 in quite a big way. We have our military contracts of over $5 million and draws right right now, our commercial right now. Draws right will continue with a boom into 2017. We will be printing 3D powders come Q1 2017, and there are a lot of players out there waiting and anticipating that supply. Our PureVap, the one that takes quartz in one step, will be playing out in 2017, and we shall have definitely have visibility as to the commercial application that system should have. And again, the aircraft carrier order at the end of the year, and whatever contracts we get from the military for the chemical warfare destruction units, if any, is just icing on the cake. So 2017, it looks like a really good year for the company. I'd ask people to keep an eye on it.
Well, let me try to summarize this for investors. PyroGenesis is a Canadian high-tech success story. The company has pioneered a large collection of plasma waste-to-energy systems and plasma torch products. In doing so, PYR is utilizing plasma in technological applications and penetrating new markets where plasma has never previously been used. The company has a proven track record of customizing plasma processes into high-value niche markets. PyroGenesis also provides engineering and manufacturing expertise, contract research, as well as turnkey process equipment packages. With its transformational breakthroughs with DrossRite, PureVap, and the production of high-margin titanium powders, the company sees 2017 as a breakthrough year. Investors looking for a tech component for their investment portfolio would be well advised to take a close look at this exciting technology story. As always, investors are advised to do their own due diligence before making any investment decision. This is Jeff Nielsen, and I have been speaking with Peter Pascali, President and CEO of PyroGenesis Canada. Thanks for spending time with me today, Peter.
Thanks, Jeff. It's always a pleasure.